We're going to jump a little bit ahead on the agenda to talk a little bit about the sesquicentennial for the University of Illinois, and I'd like to hear from Pradeep Konan, who will update us on the plans for the university and the sesquicentennial. Pradeep? There he comes. Thank you. Welcome, sir. Looks like you have some assistance.
Thank you, Chairman McMillan, President Colleen, and members of the board for a chance to talk today about the sesquicentennial celebration of the university that will start on 28th February 2017. Before I talk about the celebration, I've enlisted a few students to help us revisit some of the places that the first 150 years of our life have taken us. The most powerful stories of the University of Illinois have always been found in the experiences and accomplishments of our students, our faculty, our staff, and our alumni. So we have asked four students from our theater department to take us through some of the most important events of our history in the words of those who lived them, who watched them, and who were touched by them. At this moment, I'll introduce our students. Alexis Dartine, a senior in acting; Mateo Hurtado, a senior in theater studies; John J. Nolden, a junior in acting; and Mindy Shore, a senior in acting. And with this, I turn the podium over to them.
The hungry eyes of toiling millions are turned with mingled hope and fear upon us to see what new and better solution we can possibly offer of the great problems on which their well-being and destiny depend. John Milton Gregory, first regent of the University of Illinois, inaugural address, March 11, 1868.
The best man in America is a woman. Melville Dewey on who he thought to be the best man for a library project, Catherine L. Sharp, founder of the University of Illinois Library School in 1897.
I thought I had never seen so flat and muddy a place. No trees, no hills, no boundaries of any kind. This lack of boundaries, physical and mental, the open-mindedness of the authorities and their willingness to try experiments, indeed their desire to do so, opened up a whole new world to me. Isabel Bevere, pioneer in food science and home economics on her first impression of Illinois, 1900.
For some years, I have had in mind the domestication of squirrels upon the grounds of the university and have made some investigations which lead me to believe that the suggestion is entirely practicable. University President Andrew S. Draper, recommendation to the Board of Trustees, July 5, 1901.
Wow.
Everyone has some gift, some one thing he can do better than anything else, whether it is teaching, dancing, dramatics, cooking, or some other skill. Find that one thing and give of it to humanity if you want a well-rounded, happy life. Maudell Tanner Brown Bousfield, 1906 alumna and first African-American woman to graduate from Illinois.
He offered us $100 cash or one half the gross receipts from the sale of the songs. Obviously, being two 20-year-old kids in the usual state of finances, we took the cash. Howard R. Green, engineering alumnus on co-writing Hail to the Orange with his roommate Harold Hill in 1911.
I don't know how it happened that I got through the university. I realized I had to climb a mountain of discipline if I was to be a man among men in a white man's world. That made some of the things I did seem easier. I had already decided I wanted to study medicine. Carlos Montezuma, or Wasaja, senior class president and first Native American graduate, 1921.
To thy happy children of the future, those of the past send greetings. The alma mater sculpture dedicated on June 11, 1929.
Why do our students come to us from so far away? We have no chain of lakes, as at Madison and Ithaca, no river, no mountains, and it's hot here. And yet, they come in increasing thousands. But what we do have is a faculty great in learning and enthusiasm, a library that is a marvel, a thoroughly democratic spirit, and standards so rigorous that a degree from the University of Illinois means something. In short, they come to work. Fred Turner, Dean of Students, July 14, 1935.
We discovered something today. John Bardeen, Illinois professor and two-time Nobel Prize winner, commented to his wife on the day the transistor was developed, December 16, 1947.
The very existence of man may depend on the quality of communication on Earth. Wilbur Schramm, Professor of Communications, Architect of American Public Broadcast System, 1948.
These so-called mechanical brains have been getting away with almost as much unverified tosh about their prowess as a campaigning political candidate. Take Iliac, a gigantic digital computer at the University of Illinois, which is larger than most choral groups and not quite as loud. It is not going to do anything much except add, subtract, multiply, divide, or take a few flyers into higher mathematics. Well, so what? Editorial in the Chicago Tribune on the first supercomputer built and owned entirely by a university, October 28, 1954. Remember that one. It'll come up again later.
Mental and social development of mentally disabled children can be accelerated by early education. Professor Samuel A. Kirk, director of the University of Illinois Institute for Research on Exceptional Children, declared last week. The New York Times on Sam Kirk, Father of Special Education, November 2, 1958.
It is electromagnetism in all its many forms that has been so basic that haunts us and guides us. Nick Holonyak, Illinois alumnus and professor, inventor of the first visible light, LED, in 1962.
I believe that if, at the end of it all, according to our abilities, we have done something to make others a little happier, and something to make ourselves a little happier, that is about the best that we can do. To make others less happy is a crime. To make ourselves unhappy is where all crime starts. We must try to contribute joy to the world. That is true no matter what our problems, our health, our circumstances. We must try. Roger Ebert, 1964 graduate and Pulitzer Prize winning film critic.
Truly, the moral plots stand as a symbol of hope that hunger and privation are not the inevitable fate of man. Congressman William L. Springer, on designation of the moral plots as a National Historic Landmark, October 1, 1968.
You can do anything you want to. You have to work hard, you have to create your own luck, and you have to have some luck also. But here, it's possible. Billionaire and 1971 alumnus Shad Khan, whose first job in America after leaving Pakistan was washing dishes for $1.20 an hour.
Since the last meeting of the Board of Trustees, a major milestone was crossed, carrying long-range implications for the future of the university. The official joining of our two Chicago campuses, now known as the University of Illinois at Chicago, took place September 1. Report of President Stan Eikenberry to the Board of Trustees, September 16, 1982.
I was sitting on the starting line of my first Boston Marathon, yelling at my Illinois coach, Marty Morse, under my breath. I can't believe I let you talk me into this. I don't belong in this race. 26.2 miles later, I won my first Boston Marathon and broke the world record by almost 7 minutes. And 26.2 miles earlier, I didn't think I belonged in the race. Alumna and Paralympian Jean Driscoll on winning her first of 8 Boston Marathons in 1990.
On July 1, 1995, Sangamon State University will join UIUC and UIC as a campus of the University of Illinois and will become an integral part of the university known as the University of Illinois at Springfield. Board of Trustees, June 8, 1995.
For a long time, it was thought that there were merely two major domains of life: organisms that lack a cell nucleus, and organisms whose genetic material is encapsulated in a nucleus. The American microbiologist Carl R. Woese made a startling discovery that forced a rewriting of the textbooks. He discovered a third main group, archaea. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences announcing Carl Woese as the recipient of the 2003 Crawford Prize in Biosciences.
Illinois professor wins Nobel Prize in Medicine. Headline, October 6, 2003, announcing Paul Lauterbur as Nobel Prize winner in medicine.
Illinois professor wins Nobel Prize in Physics. Headline, October 7, 2003, announcing Anthony Leggett as Nobel Prize winner in Physics.
The Echo Maker, an enigmatic novel by U of I English professor Richard Powers, won the National Book Award for Fiction last night. New York Times, November 16, 2006.
Blue Waters, a relatively new supercomputer at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, is a rare breed of petascale supercomputers, which means it can manage 1 quadrillion floating point operations every second. It was able to piece together the entire HIV capsid, which consists of more than 1,300 identical proteins that form a cone-like structure in atomic level detail. CNET article on the launch of the world's fastest academic supercomputer, May 29, 2013.
And with all due respect, that's what you do with the supercomputer.
Congress finds that Timothy Nugent is considered the father of accessibility and the godfather of rehabilitation education, and has been a relentless innovator and advocate for disabled people in the United States. Excerpt from the bill nominating Illinois disability pioneer Tim Nugent for the Congressional Gold Medal, July 28, 2015.
And finally, we're going to end pretty close to where we started, with Professor Jonathan Baldwin Turner's remarks at the laying of the cornerstone of University Hall, September 13, 1871.
It will probably take 1,000 years for a single one of these great free states to learn to endow and manage these industrial universities in the best possible manner.
But what of that? Shall we never attempt to learn the greatest of all possible arts? The preparing of our American youth for a true American life, because our art is difficult and our lesson a long one?
Do the best it can. This institution will not and cannot do all we desire for at least around 100 years to come, though it may and it can and it will do a good work today and tomorrow and forever.
That's a difficult act to follow, both in terms of words and emotions, and in the powerful way these four students have conveyed them. So that was a whirlwind tour of where we have been. And now I want to talk very briefly about our plans to celebrate our sesquicentennial and to plan for the next 150 years. We hope to open the sesquicentennial celebration on February 28, 2017. The 150th anniversary of the state legislation that established us as the Illinois Industrial University in 1867. The celebration will continue through next May and culminate in the commencement ceremony of May 2018, which will mark 150 years of instruction on this university. Over the course of these 15 months, we intend to hold numerous unique events of all kinds, each one of them designed to recognize the impact of our university on our state, our country, and our world. They will run the spectrum from cultural events, museum exhibitions, and even special composition for Altkill Chimes, to academic conferences, alumni events, public lectures. And these celebrations will not be limited just to the three campuses of the university, but they'll be held all over the world. They'll be held in major US cities, that have got significant concentrations of our alumni. Similarly, they'll be held in countries across the world, China, India, South Korea, Japan, Brazil, countries that have sent a large number of students to us and where our alumni have played a major role in transforming the economies and the societies of those countries. The sesquicentennial website, 150.illinois.edu, is up now, and you can visit from time to time to see various events and activities that we are planning. There's a place for people to go and share their stories about their experiences at the Illinois, at any of our campuses. I know we are more than a year away, but the excitement is building. People are really looking forward to celebrating our sesquicentennial. And the core theme of each event that will be held during those 15 months will be, while we'll acknowledge our past and all the wonderful things that we have done, we'll renew our commitment to the future, the promise that the University of Illinois holds to serving our state, our country, and the world in the future. Because just as you heard in the words of Jonathan Baldwin Turner, our world truly needs us to do good work today, tomorrow, and forever. I know it's a little earlier than normal when this board considers items for its meetings, but I would like to end with a request to the board today. This institution began with the actions of this board, and we want to make sure that our official celebration also begins accordingly. Your March 2017 meeting will mark 150 years of the establishment of this board and the meeting that set into motion establishment of this great university. So we would like to put our request today for the Board of Trustees to formally and officially commemorate that historic action at that meeting, the meeting in March 2017. Thank you all for your time today, and thank you for considering our agenda request for 2017 March meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation and helping us remember. I suspect each of you students now have a better perspective of all those milestones along the way. I can't help but reflect. I happened to represent the College of Ag at that time on the planning committee for the 100th anniversary in 1967. And at that time, we were talking about the future and where we were going. We reflected a little bit back on the kinds of things that you talked about. But I also remember at that time in a Ag Econ class doing punch cards as a part of my project to try to understand how computerization helped make decisions. Thank goodness we've come a long ways from that point in time. Thank you all, and we'll look forward to your participation as we go forward in the celebration of sesquicentennial. Thank you.
Chairman McMillan, might I just add a few things? I want to thank Pradeep Khanna, who is really leading our efforts in all of these celebrations and events. He's done a lot of work. And Chris Harris and Allison Vance from Public Affairs, who researched all these quotes and worked hard on this presentation. They've all been working really diligently, and we're very happy. And I also just, for a moment, like to recognize Jean Driscoll again in the back over there. She's one of the people we heard the quote from, and she's now working in LAS Advancement, so we're thrilled.
Thanks for being here, Jean.